It's difficult today, isn't it, to know who you can really trust. In all the surveys today, people are said to have very little faith, very little trust in politicians, in bankers, in journalists, in even the police. I don't know whether you're inundated at your doorstep from time to time by those who say, "Hello, love, what's your power supply? Give me your last bill and I'll be able to save you some money." And you said, "Well, that's funny, because the last people said that as well, and they didn't." Everybody wants to encourage you to swap your electricity, your gas, your phones, all to save your money. And if you're like me, you politely say, "No, thank you," and shut the door, because you just don't trust them. I know someone so fearful of going into residential or nursing care at the moment because they so fear of what they've heard have happened to others, what they've read and what they've heard. There are doubts today about some who work in the medical and in the caring professions. Who can you trust? We live in a terribly sad and untrustworthy world. This morning it's my privilege to tell you something that you can believe, something that you must believe. I'm going to tell you something this morning which is cast iron, guaranteed trustworthy. I'm going to tell you something this morning and assure you that you can trust it with all of your heart. Not because I say it, don't believe anything that's ever said from here unless you find it's true here in the Bible. You must find it in the Bible. Genesis through to Revelation. Too often today you can't trust religious leaders. All the scandals, all the false things which are said even in the church today. But what we're going to hear this morning is true and trustworthy. And it's not only true and trustworthy, it's also the greatest thing that you will ever hear in your life. I guarantee you that this morning. It's true, it's trustworthy, it's the greatest thing you'll ever hear in your life. You are never going to hear anything more glorious than you're going to hear here this morning. Now, I'm not promising you the most glorious sermon, but the truth that's at the heart of that sermon is the most glorious thing you will ever hear. You may never have heard it before. You may never hear it again. So please listen to what is said here this morning. I want to preach to you the very heart, the very centre, the very core of Christianity. What Christianity is all about. And we find that here in verse 15, where we simply read these words, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of whom, writes Paul, I am the worst. That's true, that's trustworthy, that's glorious, it's wonderful, it's life-changing, it's the powerful Christian message. And there in that text, no one here this morning can say, "Well, that's not very clear." It's very clear. You can't say, "Well, that's not very plain." It's very plain. You can't say, "Well, that's complicated." It's not at all complicated. It's ever so simple. And there in those few words, we find what lies at the very heart of Christianity, which is what we call the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is not come to Christ. I've heard that enough times this summer. The gospel is not come to Christ. The gospel is good news. And the good news is what God has done for us in Christ. That's the good news. It's something that God Almighty has done. And he's done for us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's wonderful good news. As a result of that, we've been come to Christ. But the gospel is the good news of what God has done. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know what God has done in Christ Jesus for you? And I ask you that because very recently I was speaking to somebody and I said to them, "Who is Jesus Christ to you?" And they said pretty immediately, "Oh, he's a friend, he's my guide." And then I said to them, "And what does the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you?" And there was a little hesitation, not much, but a little hesitation. And then they said, "I've not really thought much about that." And maybe this morning you've not really thought very much about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. and the good news of what God has done for us in Christ. Are you certain this morning? Are you thrilled? Are you convinced what the gospel really is? The first thing we notice here this morning is that the gospel, or the good news, is true. It is true. The world, isn't it? It's full of broken promises. The world is full of false statements. So I can understand you this morning saying, I just don't know who to believe. I don't know what I can trust anymore in this world. The gospel, my friend, is true. And maybe this morning your life knows something of a heartache as a result of broken promises. Maybe there have been statements made to you in your life which you believed. Maybe you wanted to believe them even if you had certain doubts. And they tragically ended up being false statements. They were promises which were broken. And as a result of that, you know the hurt. You know the loss. You know something of suffering and betrayal and the cost of believing something which ultimately was untrustworthy. You may know that personally in your life. You may know it as a group together. You may know that in the spiritual realm, those who believed false things of other religions and have been betrayed by what they were told was true and wasn't. This morning we find something which is trustworthy. Already in these verses, Paul has spoken of false teaching. He's already spoken of myths. He's already spoken of meaningless talk. But here in verse 15, by way of contrast, he speaks of something which is trustworthy. I want to tell you this morning, you will not know any betrayal or any sense of letdown from the truth which is being proclaimed here this morning. You will never know any betrayal or sense of letdown from believing that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Why not? Because it's true. It's absolutely true. What God has done for us in Jesus, and the record of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, and we find the record here in the Bible, is true. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, "Your word is truth." Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All God's words are true, and all scripture is God-breathed. They're his words, which he breathed out, and he cannot lie. Every one of us here this morning, we're liars. We've all told untruths in our lives. God has never told an untruth. He cannot lie. Throughout the generations, a countless number of people, I wouldn't be able to add them up, have discovered for themselves the truth of these words. They have found for themselves in their lives how trustworthy is this statement. And they gladly hung to the truths of these words with all their heart. This little phrase here, this is a trustworthy saying, is found on five occasions in three letters that the Apostle Paul writes. This is his first letter here to Timothy. He wrote four other letters, and here we find that is one of the statements he says, this is a trustworthy saying. This is a trustworthy saying. He wrote this phrase on four other occasions. That's what I meant to say. Now, a trustworthy saying, which is something which is simple, brief, every first century disciple would have learned and known this, would have recited this trustworthy saying. They'd have been very familiar with it. The beauty of this particular trustworthy saying is it's just the gospel in a nutshell. The wonder of Christianity in a few words. Because it describes to us the who, Christ Jesus, the what, that he came into the world, the why, to save sinners. Can you see that? The who, the what, the why. It's here in a nutshell. You can learn this trustworthy saying. It's memorable. Here is a soundbite with real content. Here is a strapline with genuine meaning. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It is true. And you can bank your life on these truths here this morning. They will never let you down. Very many years ago, a young man called Tom was at Cambridge University. And he wrote these words. I chanced upon this sentence of the Apostle Paul. It is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be embraced, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief and principal. Tom, the student, read these words. What was his response? He says, this one sentence, through God's instruction and inward working in my heart, which I didn't then understand, did so exhilarate my whole being that being wounded with the guilt of my sins and almost in despair, I even immediately seemed unto myself inwardly to then feel a marvellous comfort and quietness, insomuch that my bruised bones leapt for joy. You see that? He found something of the truth of these words, something of his own sin, and then something of the marvellous comfort and quietness, such that his heart leapt for joy. Have you ever known that when you found the truth here in these words? They're glorious. Number one, the good news this morning is true and it's trustworthy. Secondly, and much more briefly, the good news we read here deserves full acceptance. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That means that this message is worthy of being fully and completely and unreservedly accepted. Unreservedly, fully, completely. Fully taken on board, taken to heart, fully believed, fully embraced, believed on with all your heart, not half-heartedly, not just in case, but wholeheartedly. Hallelujah! Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that simple, glorious statement is worthy of the whole world accepting it. That's what Tom the student said, wasn't it? Worthy of all men to be embraced. The truth and the trustworthiness of this statement is such that all men, all women, all old, all young should accept this message. It's worthy to be accepted by all of these people, by the well and by the sick, by the university professor, by the uneducated, by the king in his castle, by the sweeper in the street, by the executive at his desk, by those who are out of work, by the rich, by the poor, by the loner, by the socially gifted. This statement is worthy of full acceptance. Acceptance by all. Acceptance by folks from Christian families. Acceptance by folks who are strangers to church and to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By people who want to be in church and by people who don't want to be in church. By people seeking the truth, by those who are disinterested in the truth. This statement is worthy of acceptance by all of them. By the Welsh, by the Libyans, by the Saudis, by the Brazilians, by the Ukrainians, by the Arabs, by the Jews, by the Muslims. This statement is worthy of full acceptance. By the happy, by the sad, by all. By you. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and that word full includes you. Third thing this morning, what is the good news? Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. What is the good news? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Very simply this morning, the good news is about Jesus. It's not first and foremost about us, it's about him. It's about what God has done in Jesus. The Jesus that I'm sure you know was born in Bethlehem. The Jesus who stilled the winds and the waves on that occasion when he was in the boat asleep on the lake. He was woken up. Be quiet, be still, he calms the winds and the waves. It's that Jesus. The one who fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's that Jesus. That's who I'm talking about this morning. That's the one who lies at the heart of what God has done for us. The one who healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. The one who went into Jerusalem on a donkey. The one who was betrayed, put on trial, who wore a crown of thorns. The one who was nailed to a cross. The one who was crucified with thieves. The one who was raised from the dead. It's about Jesus Christ. And you know something of him, but do you know this? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners? He's called here Christ. Christ Jesus. Christ is not his surname. People have referred to him as Jesus Christ. It's not his surname. Christ means Messiah. The Jews at the time Jesus was born were waiting for one whom God had promised, who was going to be the Messiah, going to be the Saviour. If you look in the Old Testament of the Bible, you will find the prophets are pointing forward to the coming of the Messiah. Well, when Jesus came, he fulfilled those prophecies because Jesus Christ is the Messiah. God made those promises and God kept his promise in the sending of Jesus. He is Jesus who is the Christ. What did he do? Very simply, he came into this world. Where was Jesus before he came into this world? Well, as we sometimes sing at Christmas, he came down, I won't sing for you, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. He came to earth from heaven. He left where he was, surrounded by all the worship of the angels. He left his Father's side. And he came to this special planet where God had created people. Christ Jesus came into the world. But thirdly, who, what and why? Do you know why he came? Have you seen why he came? Because this is the greatest thing. Sometimes this is the most misunderstood thing. This is the most glorious thing. That Jesus Christ whom we worship in church once a year at Christmas, which is what perhaps some of us do, he came to do something for sinners. He didn't come that they might have a carol service. He came to do something glorious, we read here, to save them. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He didn't simply come as a perfect example to us of undying love. I should follow his example and be willing to lay down my life for others. That's not primarily why he came. It's not an example of sacrifice for us to follow. Christ Jesus came into this world to do something very definite for others, which he achieved, which he was successful in. He came on a mission, and that mission was accomplished. Have you seen and understood and believed what he did? And I ask you because this morning it's not only true, it's not only trustworthy, it's not only glorious, it is the most vital and important thing you will ever hear. You will never hear anything more important for you in your life and for your eternity than this. And why can I say that? Because I know from the Bible that you, like me, are what the Bible calls a sinner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all shot the arrow and we've missed the target. Some of us yesterday were at Ashby Fair in the afternoon with our darts, and some of us kept missing the target. You seem to win more if you missed more, but still. We fell short of the target. We all miss the standard that God has set for us. We're not like the animals, the human race. We're creatures. We're made in God's image. And not one of us here this morning has loved him as he has demanded. Not one of us here this morning has come anywhere near loving the Lord our God in a way which is worthy of him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. Not one of us. It's weak and pathetic, our love towards God. We've broken his law. We've offended the holy God. Every one of us here this morning is guilty of treason. You, like me, have offended your holy Maker. The Bible reveals that not only at birth, but at conception, we inherited something. Sure, we may have inherited something of the looks of our parents, or the ways of our parents, or the weaknesses of our earthly parents, but we certainly have inherited a sinful nature. From the head of the human race, the Bible says, a man called Adam. We were born in this condition. And you need to know the truth of that. Your heart will begin to wrestle against it to begin with. But we were born, every one of us, in this condition. With this sin nature, we were born opposed to God and to His ways in a state of spiritual death. That's our state, by nature, before God. Spiritual death. We're alive physically, mentally, but not spiritually from birth. And in spiritual death, there is nothing you can do to save yourself. There is nothing you can do to make yourself right with the great God of heaven. And that should trouble you deeply this morning. Because if you remain in your sinful state of spiritual death, you will ultimately face the anger, the wrath of God against you for your sin. And that wrath is spoken of as an eternal suffering, a suffering which goes on forever in a place called hell. Please understand, the Bible teaches very plainly that we are by nature under the sentence of God's death and judgment. And that's why I say to you, it's the most important thing you will ever hear. Because it tells you what is true about yourself eternally. By nature opposed to God, by nature powerless, by nature under His judgment, by nature this morning, some of you are far from God and lost. You are without Him, you are without hope in this generation. You are under His sentence. You are unable to save yourself. But Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. To save people like you. To save people like me from our sin. From the wrath to come. Jesus Christ came into the world to save us from our deserved punishment and to reconcile us to God. To bring us back into right relationship with God. To know Him and to enjoy Him forever. Not only in this life, but in the eternal life to come. You see, His name, Jesus, means He will save His people from their sins. The angels announced His birth to the shepherds. A Saviour has been born to you. John wrote, the Father has sent the Son to be what? To be the Saviour of the world. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And some of you this morning, you're lost. But the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's good news for you. He is a rescue plan. And this is how He saves. He saves sinners from their sin and from the wrath coming to them because of their sin by taking their sin away from them and taking it to Himself. He has the sin of others laid upon Him, counted against Him as He faces their penalty as their sacrifice on the cross. That's the immense, undeserved love and kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes into this world faultless. He knew no sin. And He is made sin. He has the sins of others laid upon Him in His body on the cross. And there He faces the punishment which is due to them for their sin. And that's the wonderful love of God this morning. Whilst we were still sinners, hallelujah, Christ died for us. If you were caught speeding and someone else was willing to pay a parking fine for you, willing to have your points put on their license, You'd be glad of them, wouldn't you? You're guilty, but you could go free. They would suffer in your place. If you've got an outstanding bill you can't pay and somebody else is willing to pay it for you, or willing to go to prison for you because you haven't paid what you owe, they go to prison for you for what you've done wrong. If you've been caught recently rioting or stealing or murdering, what would you think if someone loved you enough, willing to face your punishment for you? And the judge accepted it. The judge agreed the terms that somebody else could face your punishment for what you had done wrong. Wouldn't that be remarkable if somebody would do that for you? Imagine how you would feel if you were on death row in the States and someone was willing to come and face that punishment for you, and the judge was happy with the arrangement. How would you feel if somebody was prepared to do that for you? Well, all of those are fanciful examples. Here's the genuine, unrivaled prototype. And this is what God has done in Christ Jesus for us. Christ dies as our substitute, facing our punishment, facing God's judgment, and willingly paying the price for our sin by dying for our sin. There's no more to pay. He has fully paid the price. It's true. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's worthy of full acceptance. And as we close, fourthly, this good news is to be believed personally. Because not all sinners are saved. The Apostle Paul goes on to say here, "Of whom I am the chief." I am the worst offender, says the Apostle Paul. I am the worst offender. I don't believe he's investigated the sinful and the criminal records of the whole of the world's inhabitants, carefully compared them and weighed them out and come to this conclusion. I believe that the Apostle Paul was convinced of his own sin and its dreadful measure before God. And we read in the Bible of a day when he was on the road to Damascus. He didn't expect the day to end up as it did. He was opposed to Christianity. He was opposed to this message. He was breathing out murderous threats against Christians. He'd gone to synagogues looking for Christians with the intention of imprisoning them. That was his plan and purpose for the day. He could never have imagined what would happen next. As he went on that road, a light flashed around him, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "I am Jesus." He heard a voice. He had a personal encounter with the living Christ. He found the truth about Jesus for himself. And humbled by that, he turned from his sin and he trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of all of his sins. It became personal to him, persuaded of his sin, persuaded of the Saviour. In 1743, George Whitfield was preaching down in Plymouth, and a man called John Tanner had heard that Whitfield was going to preach, and he didn't like what he'd heard about George Whitfield, he didn't like what he'd heard about what George Whitfield preached. He said, "When he gets on that box, I'm going to knock him off," he said. "I'm going to knock him off." So John Tanner went and stood there in the congregation. I'm looking around this morning for any John Tanners. And Whitfield began to preach. Whitfield began to preach about Jesus. Whitfield began to preach about the life of Jesus. And Whitfield came to the death of Jesus on the cross. And not knowing this man was John Tanner, he turned in his direction and said, "Sinner, you are the man that crucified the Son of God. You are the man who crucified the Son of God." Tanner said, "Then and never before Then and never before, I felt the Word of God quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I didn't know whether to stand or to fall. In that instance, I was at once convicted, my heart was bruised, my eyes were gushing forth floods of tears. I dreaded there and then the instant wrath of God and expected that it would instantly fall upon me. None but those who have waded through the deep waters of a convicted conscience can form any idea of the horror I endured. There was a moment in John Tanner's life when he came to see the truth about himself, that he was a sinner. He was a sinner in the hands of an angry God. He was hostile to God. He was living on the broad way which leads to destruction. And then he heard not only of his sin, but he heard of a Saviour, Christ Jesus. And John Tanner turned from his life of unbelief and he trusted Christ. Billy Sunday was a drunken baseball player in Chicago. One day he was walking down the street with his teammates, and to his ears he heard the gospel being preached. He stopped. He told his teammates he wanted to go and listen. They all mocked him. But Billy Sunday's heart had been touched. He sent his friends away, and he came to hear the gospel. He was persuaded that he was a sinner there and then. And he turned from his sin to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. A few years ago, there was a lady on death row in Carolina. She was on death row for killing her own family. But there on death row, she heard a program in jail, and the program was speaking to her about Jesus and why he had come into this world. She came to fully be persuaded that she was a sinner. She knew that death awaited her very soon. She knew where she deserved to go. She turned from her sin and believed in the Lord Jesus. And in her moment of execution, she went to be with her Lord forever. A leader of the Hell's Angels gang was in jail for second-degree murder. Then released, he got on his motorcycle and he rode down the aisle of the church. I was glad to see Jeff close the door a few minutes ago. When he got to the front, he threw a rope around the pastor and he dragged him off out the back. No ideas here this morning. The next time that man was in church was at his baptism. As he dealt with that pastor and as that pastor then dealt with him, the pastor told him the truth about Jesus Christ, and the Hell's Angel came to faith in Jesus, turning from his sin and believing on Christ. Many of you know the story of Joseph Ekai, the cattle herder in Kenya, who I met 3 years ago, who was minding the cattle up in the valley one day, up in the hillside one day, and he heard the gospel being preached down in the village. And it struck him. It struck him so much he went and found the person who owned the cattle, and he said, "I need to go, please look after your cattle." He ran down to the village, ran down to the valley, where he heard the gospel preached. That Christ Jesus came into the world and saved sinners. And Joseph said, "I knew I was a sinner. And I looked to Christ and I believed upon him to save me." The good news is true. The good news is worthy of full acceptance. The good news is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. These people have responded personally to this good news. What of you? Do you not see your state here this morning? See your sin, see your separation from God, of whom many have heard so many times. Do you not see your eternal future without him if you remain unrepentant? Here is a trustworthy saying. This morning, a lifebelt to you in the midst of a sea that otherwise will engulf you. In a world where you are surrounded by the untrustworthy and the unreliable, here is a trustworthy saying which deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Won't you turn to him here this morning? turn away from your sin and your unbelief and here this morning believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ that you would be saved. You've come in as unsaved. You can go out as saved. And all because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, believe upon him, and you will be saved.